Hey guys, we are back for this week's Trending 10. It is just Russ and myself. Tom is out. He's doing a big Whatnot show today. He's busy. He's got other stuff going on, so we're holding down the fort. And I don't know about you guys, but I need some kind of like group therapy after this week's episode of X-Men 97. I am traumatized. I am shook. And I think the community is too, because a lot of X-Men books are on this list. What do you think, Russ?
If you're not watching X-Men 97, you should really be doing so. There are four books on the list this week, and really, this is a must watch.
So thank you guys for joining us. Even though Tom's not here, we're going to do our best to keep this train moving like we do every single week. The 10 most trending comics, the 10 comics that are moving and selling because of what happened this week. And a prime example of that, this is not X-Men related, however. We're starting off with Batman Adventures number 12, the first appearance of Harley Quinn. We're seeing $1,200 average sales, like across all grades, but that's pretty useless. We should just stop saying that.
So mentioning an average grade over $1,000 seems a little bit useless, but we have to keep in mind that the most recent high sale on this, we had just over $2,000. We had a $2,025 sale on April 3rd. And just the day before that, we saw Heritage Auction. There was a sale for $2,760 for a CGC 9.8. When we mention these average sales, it means if you're looking at a low grade 5.5 and a pristine 9.8, the low grade ones are going to sell in the $400, $500 range. The high grade ones are going to sell for, again, $2,000 or more. So really, the averages are, they're a little bit less useful than when we're talking about a $20, $30 book that's going for $200, $300 in a 9.8. But this book itself is very warranted on the list right now. We had the trailer and we get to see Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. I wasn't excited before I saw the trailer, and now I really, really think this is going to be good.
I'm a big fan of the original Joker movie. I was very on board with that movie this whole time. I know a lot of people aren't. It seems like it's a very polarizing movie. I don't think Tom likes it very much. And upon seeing this trailer this week, I'm excited. I'm not a big fan of musicals either, so I was a little apprehensive about the musical aspect of Joker 2, but seeing all of the stuff in the trailer just has me excited for what this thing is going to do moving forward. This is going to be a really cool movie. There's a big drought of big superhero movies this year, which is probably good. I think that's good for all of this stuff. I think that's why X-Men 97 is hitting so hard. We'll get more into that later. But the fact that there's just not 10 different Marvel movies coming out this year, you know, there's very, very limited superhero stuff. So Joker coming out in October, just under 6 months away, I'm excited. I think it's going to be really cool. Let's move on.
Up next on the list, number 9, Amazing Spider-Man number 329, first appearance of the Tri-Sentinel. And when I say, spoiler free, but this has something to do with the X-Men 97 series, you need to start paying attention. $5 average sales and a recent sale for a CGC 9.8, $124 just yesterday.
And we are seeing a 150% increase in copies sold of this book compared to last week because, again, the Tri-Sentinel appeared in this episode of X-Men 97 with a big splash and traumatized certain people in the room. I don't want to say a whole lot more than that because, again, you got to watch the show if you aren't watching it. I don't like X-Men, like, at all, and I can't stop thinking about X-Men 97. It's amazing. It's really cool. I, unfortunately, was not aware of the Tri-Sentinel appearing in the 90s. I first saw him in Nick Spencer's ASM number 4, actually, from 2018 with Ryan Ottley on the artwork. I had no idea what the Tri-Sentinel was. It just came out of nowhere from my perspective. This big, giant, three-headed sentinel that Crazy Spider-Man is riding. He spray paints his face with a Spider-Man mask. It's silly, it's goofy, but you got to keep an eye out for the second print of that book because there's a cool panel from the interior on the cover.
And the Tri-Sentinel in the Amazing Spider-Man run just, to me, always kind of felt like a bit of a throwaway story because you ended up having all of the Venom stuff, all of the Todd McFarlane covers up to, you know, the early 320s, and then you have these Eric Larson covers that are just kind of a bunch of stories that don't really have a whole lot to do until you start seeing more Cletus Cassidy all the way up until Carnage. So this is from that era that really doesn't get a whole lot of love from ASM people.
It feels like every week we come to the trending video and every week like half of the books are X-Men 97 related, and that holds true again this week. But if you go check out Key Collector Comics, the app that we source all of these books from every week, there's a trending 20 list. We only picked 10 of them for this video, but if you look at that list of 20, there are a lot more X-Men 97 related books on there too. So if that is your jam, if you've got X-Men fever like I do right now, use code TOM101 on Key Collector. That'll give you a free 2-week trial of the entire app in its entirety. There's a lot of really cool stuff on there. You can catalog your whole collection. You can see what the keys are. You can see what the non-keys are. That's a relatively new feature too. And you can just kind of like flip through it and learn stuff about characters and creators and series and all sorts of things. So yeah, Key Collector, it's a good app. Trust me.
Number 8 on the list, more X-Men spec. Uncanny X-Men number 300 now. For those of you 90 kids, remember buying this one off the rack. It had that awesome holographic cover with a whole bunch of holographic X's all over it. Super cool. It's the first appearance of Amelia Vogt, but people are actually talking about the introduction of the Legacy Virus. People who were looking at the Wikipedia, looking at the episode title list, a lot of people have been attempting to glean as many clues as they can from the leaked list of episodes over on Wiki. And that's why we have, like, Life Death, which we know is an X-Men series. These were things that happened in the issues back in the run. Well, right now, someone believes that Legacy Virus is something that may be happening. We don't have any actual confirmation, but when I report to you a $5 average sales for a book that was very clearly 1993 overprinted holographic shiny cover, we had a $144 9.8 sale on March 19th, the day before the first X-Men 97 episode dropped. So I think someone is doing a little bit of detective work on this, because the most recent 9.8 sale for this book was only $55, less than a week ago. So there's not a whole lot of spec about the Legacy Virus right now, but it's gaining traction. 191% increase in copies sold this week. A lot of people are buying raw copies, not so many graded copies going right now.
Now, my memory is not the sharpest these days, but there were 5 episodes of this show out now, and I don't recall any sort of Legacy Virus stuff in these 5 episodes. So unless I'm horribly wrong, roast me in the comments if I am, I don't think this is on the deck for the show at all. So this could be people, like, looking at other plot lines in the early 90s, trying to, like, speculate on certain future events that might happen. But the Legacy Virus basically affected all mutants. It was like a mutant-specific virus, which was kind of an allegory for other diseases at the time that were very prevalent. And then it took until 2001 for, like, Colossus to make a sacrifice and kind of stop the spread of this virus. But this was a huge event, or kind of a factor in mutant comics for nearly a decade. So I can imagine seeing something translate into, if not the animation, then maybe one of the movies or something moving forward.
If you are watching this video brand new on Sunday, right when it comes out, you have less than 24 hours to sign up for the Comic Tom 101 Mystery Mail Call, where we get awesome books to send to you every single month.
And this month, for the first time ever, we are having the same artist provide cover artwork for both of our exclusives going in the box. Exclusive number one is Deadpool number one, actually, from the recently relaunched Deadpool series with a variant cover by Dan Panosian. It's an ASM 300 homage, too, which is actually pretty cool. And the other book that he provided a cover art for is Jackpot and Black Cat number one, featuring Mary Jane slash Jackpot and then Black Cat on the cover. Both drawn by Dan Panosian, like I said earlier. It's pretty cool. I would recommend checking it out. And if you want to, you have less than 24 hours at this point. ComicTom101.com to sign up. I'm going to move on to the next book on the list because it is interesting. I did not know about this one before today. Number 7, World of Wood, number 1 from 1986. This is Dave Stevens on the artwork here. We were seeing a lot of traction on his work, particularly of late, and I'm going to kick it to Russ because he knows way more than I do on this one.
For those of you that are fans of good girl art and the female form, you already know Dave Stevens, and if you don't, you guys need to pay attention because these books are tough, and this is the type of stuff that you will absolutely find in a dollar bin when someone puts it in the wrong place. This is an Eclipse comic book from 1986. The rest of the covers are worth almost nothing, but Dave Stevens was absolutely killing the game back in the mid-1980s. You will know him as the creator of Rocketeer, but he did some very, very famous covers. He ended up working on DN Agents. He did an amazing Planet Comics cover. We've already talked about the Alien Worlds cover, and this World of Wood number one is absolutely no stranger to people picking it up just because the cover art is so great. We're seeing $90 average sales and a recent CGC 9.8 of $1,257. Now, why are people paying so much money for this book? Dave Stevens was an incredible artist who did not put out that much stuff throughout his life because he got a very rare type of leukemia, which ended up actually making him scale back the amount of art he was able to do. So he was fairly prolific in the 80s and the early 90s, and then ended up kind of dropping off after the whole Rocketeer thing. But a lot of these books, if you find them, they're just very, very expensive. It's a 300% increase in copies sold this week for a book that I don't even think I own a copy of, and I'm a massive Dave Stevens fan. So Dave Stevens died in 2008, and in November of last year, they actually released a documentary called Dave Stevens Drawn to Perfection, and this all of a sudden brought a bunch of new interest to him as an artist, and that's one of the reasons why we are seeing some of these books that, again, this recently sold for over $1,200. The last sales of this book in a 9.8 were in the $250 to $300 range. You can even look at another example, Kimiko. You're looking at the Johnny Quest number 5. It's an amazing Jezebel Jade cover. That book was consistently going for $250 to $300 prior to the release of the documentary. After the documentary, every single sale has been $900 to $1,000. So Dave Stevens is in high demand. If you have Dave Stevens in high grade, I would highly recommend grading these books. They display well, they look well, and this is definitely a long-term investment style thing.
That's why we have an LCS owner on our show. That was beautiful. That was great. I need to go watch that documentary. It's actually all on YouTube for free right now. There's going to be a few links. I'm going to go ahead and put the link to that in the description. There's going to be a few other links down there you'll see as we go on through the video. But yeah, go check out the description. We'll put the link down there for that documentary. We need to get on to number 6 on the list.
Catapulting ourselves all the way back to the 1970s. We have a book from 1976, and amazingly, it has nothing to do with the X-Men. Number 6 on the list, supervillain team-up number 5 from 1976. First appearance of the Shroud, $20 average sales, and we have a high recent sale of a CGC 9.8 for $675.
We are seeing a 358% increase in copies sold of this book compared to previous weeks because, out of nowhere, for no reason, I'm just kidding, because the Shroud has just recently been revealed, I guess, spoiler alert before I go any farther, the Shroud has just recently been revealed to be the new Moon Knight. We recently had the death of Mark Spector, kind of, I think, at the start of this year. Honestly, that's when I unsubscribed from Moon Knight, and of course, I'm missing out on all this cool stuff at the moment. But yeah, there was a new Moon Knight, and the mystery was, who is this new character? And it turns out it's not a new character. This is the Shroud, who was introduced back in the 70s. He's got kind of like a supernatural, almost like Daredevil kind of radar sense, and he can like project blackness, just darkness, from some sort of alternate dimension or something. I need to clearly get back onto Moon Knight. Shout out my buddy Brendan, actually, Collector Without Fear on Instagram, for shaming me for dropping Moon Knight. I apparently need to get back on it. I'm making a mistake because this actually sounds cool. I want to learn more about this Shroud character, especially if he's in the Moon Knight costume.
Feels like we haven't talked about a Star Wars book in quite some time, Ryan. Like, it's great to have another non-X book on this list. Number 5, Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi, Force Storm. Number 1, this is some late Dark Horse stuff. This came out in 2012 and had a relatively low print run, just under 20,000. A lot of times, the Dark Horse books with the Star Wars stuff, they were just releasing things to, I think at that point, they were really just kind of trying to hold on to the license because they knew that Marvel was going to be taking this over. But $80 average sales, a 9.8, $200 on April 5th for the first appearance of Sesh, Trill, Cora Rio, Rory Fenn, and Tim Madog. A bunch of characters you've never heard of because this takes place 25,000 years before the events of A New Hope. So definitely at the dawn of Jedi's becoming Jedi's.
This storyline explores the origins of the Force. So it's going to get into like some ancient history stuff here. And it was confirmed last year at Star Wars Celebration that James Mangold, who's actually also working on the upcoming Swamp Thing movie, is going to be directing a movie based on this Dawn of the Jedi. That's kind of a working title of this upcoming movie. But for all intents and purposes, we're calling it the Dawn of the Jedi movie. And yeah, James Mangold will be directing and writing. And it was just announced this week that Bo Willimon, who was actually one of the writers on Andor, who won an Emmy, and he was also the creator of House of Cards back on Netflix about a decade ago, he is joining onto the Dawn of the Jedi movie as a co-writer alongside the creator here. So it should be cool. I mean, the guy's got a good track record, and Andor is one of the most well-received Star Wars things in, you know, the last decade at least, so that's a good sign for me. I'm not particularly super into the idea of an ancient Star Wars story, but I'm sure by the time like a trailer comes out or some more plot details, I'll be on board, because that's how I felt about The Acolyte, which dropped the trailer a couple weeks ago. I'm now looking forward to that as well. That one also takes place in the past, but that's only about 1,000 years or so before the movies. This is 25,000 years, so this is going to be just a big question mark until we find out more information.
A 425% increase in copies sold this week, and bearing in mind how low the print run is, that is a substantial number of copies flying off the digital shelves.
We got to get back to X-Men, right? X-Men 97 is back on the list here at number 4. Not issue 97, of course. This is issue 227, Uncanny X-Men 227 from 1988. This is the first full appearance of the Adversary, who kind of reveals its true form in this issue here. We saw the Adversary last week on X-Men 97, which I honestly completely forgot about in the wake of this week's episode, completely breaking my brain and my heart all at the same time. The Adversary is a villain that appeared last week who will appear next week on X-Men 97 as well when we get part two of the life-death story featuring Storm and Forge.
Another one of my beefs about the X-Men from this era is the fact that Mark Silvestri did such great cover art, and it seems like one of the only colors he was given to work with was brown, kind of like the Madeline Pryor first cover. This one is another heavily brown cover. Now, Adversary, we're talking about that. The last episode of X-Men 97 was called Life Death Part 1, and an episode coming up next week called Life Death Part 2. Keep in mind that Adversary first showed up in X-Men 188, which is right around that whole Life Death era of the original Uncanny X-Men. So this is absolutely a book that I think people are picking up. $5 average sales for a raw copy is not bad, and it's a good read anyway. It's a really good era of Uncanny X-Men. We're reporting on a January sale for a 9.8 of $55. And as of this recording right now, there's only one copy in a 9.8 listed on eBay. They're not moving very fast. So people are definitely buying these raw if they think they want to spec on this book.
And as good as X-Men 97 has been, I want to give a special shout out to the villains of that show. There's been only 5 episodes released so far, and we've had a pretty impressive slate of intimidating, scary opponents for this team to go up against. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing how this whole adversary thing plays out in part two next week. But we need to move on. Number 3 on the list, Ultimate Universe number 1 from last year. This is on the list because we saw Ultimate X-Men number 2 by Peach Momoko drop this week, where we got kind of like the full introduction to the character Maystorm, her original character. She first appeared in a cameo back here in this issue in Ultimate Universe number 1, alongside a cameo appearance of Ultimate Black Panther as well.
Now, while Maystorm showed up in a cameo in this issue, she was also in a variant cover drawn by Peach that had a lot of comic collectors in a frenzy the last couple conventions of last year. But $12 average sales is what we're seeing, a high raw sale of $30, and $148 for a CGC 9.8 back in March of this year. So again, this Ultimate Universe has been driving these sales. If you're not reading them, go and read them. Ultimate X-Men is great. I sold out within an hour of opening, and I bought a lot of extra copies because I am such a big fan of Peach. And yes, Ultimate X-Men sold out very quickly. Maystorm's on the cover of a variant. We know she's hanging out in the book. So this is definitely a book that I think is going to have some traction here.
Ultimate X-Men has been terrific, and it's impossible to hang out with you and with Tom as much as I do and not kind of gain an affection for Peach Momoko. You're sitting right next to some original art from her. Ultimate X-Men blows me away. Like, it's really good. I just reread both issues this morning before coming over here. They're a little depressing. It's kind of a dark book. It's dealing with a lot of grief and trauma, and Maystorm showing up in issue 2 is kind of like a breath of fresh air. She's like introducing herself to our character, who's like the new kid at school, and Maystorm just shows up, and she's got some energy to her, and she's not so depressed and down like our main character is. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they do with her moving forward, especially since she may or may not have superpowers. Spoilers.
A 267% increase in copies sold week over week. And I think if you don't have a copy of Ultimate Universe number 1, do your best to pick it up now-ish, because this book is going to continue to climb.
Number 2 on the list is probably my personal favorite. Out of all 10 books on here, we're looking at Fantastic Four Life Story number 1 back in 2021, written by one of my favorite writers, one of the best writers in the industry right now, Mark Russell. We're seeing $5 average sales for this book. A CGC 9.8 just hit $56 last week, but we are seeing 9.8s listed for $100 plus. So keep an eye out. This book does seem kind of like it's all over the place.
So there's a 500% increase in copies sold this week on physical copies, but if you really want to read it, you can get a free digital copy.
Russ is correct. Marvel recently released a kind of reading list for Fantastic Four, the movie. We've been talking about it, or Tom and Jim have been talking about it over on the Hot 10, because that list included Fantastic Four 48, 49, and 50. The Galactus trilogy and some of those books have been spiking up over on the Hot 10. But this is the first time we've talked about Fantastic Four Life Story since the release of that list. We talked about it a few times before then, but now Marvel has made it official and said, these 5 comics are going to influence the upcoming movie. Here you go. Here's a link to read all of them for free online. Right here, totally legally. It's all on Marvel Unlimited. You don't need an account to sign up and read any of this stuff. I'm going to, again, put the link down in the description. All 5 of those issues need to be read, but go check out Life Story because it's the most modern one. I think a lot of people missed it, and it's great.
4 of these free books are absolutely must read historical documents. Fantastic Four, number one, it's amazing to be able to see what Jack Kirby was doing with these characters and where they have come from and how they developed. Fantastic Four 48, 49, and 50, The Galactus and Silver Surfer, must read, especially because we just got Silver Surfer casting information. So these are books that you need to know. But the fact that they have a new book that really focuses on the history of the Fantastic Four means that this is one to pay attention to.
Especially because this first issue is set in the 1960s, second issue in the 1970s, and then the 80s, and so on throughout the end of the book. The fact that this first one takes place in the 60s is really connected to what this movie looks like, which will also be taking place in the 60s based on all of the hints and glimpses we've gotten so far. So there might be more connective tissue here than we're really aware of. And again, I love this book. I've read this book. It's great. You need to read it too, and now you can for free. No excuse. Go down to the description. Check the link.
And while you're down there, you might as well hit like and subscribe, because we are here every single week bringing you the trending 10 goodness, as we have for 6 years now, guys. This is your go-to video, and you know we want to see you here every single week. Make it happen.
You should hit the like button. You should hit the subscribe button. I won't ask you to hit the bell. I don't ever hit the bell for any channels. I don't need more notifications on my phone. But those other two, please, please do that. We're going to talk about more X-Men stuff here right at the end.
What?
I know. Big plot twist. X-Men Adventures, number one, from 1992. This is like the X-Men animated series book. It just screams 90s X-Men. We're seeing $18 average sales. The last GPA sale that we're seeing here is $200, which is trending about $20 over its recent 12-month average, which means this book may even end up on the hot 10. I doubt it, though.
Nostalgia is a powerful tool. When you keep looking at things like live-action reboots of television series, or like the Ghostbusters coming back for another movie, very rarely do you have something that compares to the original. I love Futurama, but the last couple seasons have still been fairly lackluster, and The Simpsons keep trotting out the same dead horse. Really, a lot of these shows are just not living up to their potential, which is why X-Men 97 is such an anomaly. This show hits it out of the park, and every single episode just seems to one-up the last one. The creator, Bo DeMeo, actually broke his silence and mentioned that he had already arced all of this stuff. What he said over on Twitter was, "Episode 5 was the centerpiece of my pitch to Marvel in November 2020. The idea being to have the X-Men mirror the journey that any of us who grew up on the original show have experienced since being kids in the 90s. The world was a seemingly safer place for us. Then 9/11 happened, and the world turned against itself. Things weren't so safe anymore. The effects we still feel today and have only been exacerbated by more collective traumas like COVID or several recessions."
It was pretty interesting to hear from Bo DeMeo after this week, after the fifth episode, because he did get fired. He's the creator, the showrunner, the writer, the head writer of this whole show so far. He was just quietly, quickly fired right before the show premiered. We don't really know why. We don't know what happened. And he had already written the scripts for season two. So they're currently filming dialogue and stuff for season two, animating all of it. So he does have some impact in the next season. He won't be the showrunner, but he did write all the scripts. So it'll be interesting to see how the feel of the show changes without the influence of the head writer there, who clearly is doing something pretty good with the scripts on these first five episodes, at least. I'm impressed. And it's probably worth go checking out his full statement over on Twitter, because it was pretty emotional. And it definitely read it after episode five, though, just to be clear. Don't want to spoil yourself.
So while we're reporting a 108% increase in copies sold this week, bear in mind that this has been on the list multiple times week over week, and with five more episodes coming, it probably won't be the last time we see it on the list.
That's a pretty good prediction. It's pretty safe. I like it. What do you guys think? Head down to the comments. Share all your feelings with me about X-Men 97 number 5, because I'll certainly be down there. I like hanging out in the comments section. Thank you for hanging out with us while Tom took a little break today. He'll be back next week. I hope he will be anyway, because this stuff's hard to set up. I had trouble with the computers today, but let's not get into that. See you next week. I'm just going to wrap this up. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget to geek responsibly.
Enough said.
Goodbye. I think that's the end. Shit. Ah! All right. Sorry, Sly. That's 50 minutes.